We read from the Holy Scriptures this evening from the book of Proverbs. We read two passages. First of all, from Proverbs chapter 31. We read beginning at verse 10 through the end of the chapter. A beautiful description of a virtuous woman. And secondly, we will read from Proverbs chapter 14, the first 11 verses. Our text this evening is found in the opening verse of Proverbs chapter 14. We read first from Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. We hear the word of God. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. We turn to Proverbs chapter 14. We read the first 11 verses. Proverbs chapter 14. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man, thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text this evening is found in the opening verse of this passage, Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14, verse 1, where we read, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, in general, we ought to bear in mind that Proverbs are wise sayings that instruct in the ways of wisdom. They are generally written in three different ways: as riddles, as comparisons, or as contrasts. And though as such they are quite simple, we ought not view them as mere common sense sayings. Be good and you'll be praised. Be bad and you'll be punished. Oh no. True wisdom, as the fear of the Lord is involved, so that it is only by grace in Jesus Christ, who is Himself the wisdom of God, that we can really say and live the Proverbs of God's Word. Solomon speaks repeatedly in Proverbs of the God-fearing woman, the wife that will be a blessing unto her husband. And in contrast, he speaks of the foolish woman who will be a burden, a hindrance, even a curse to her husband. Such she is to his house. The wise woman, her wisdom may supply many of her husband's weaknesses and faults. But with regard to the foolish woman, all the results of her husband's care and prudence may be wasted by her folly. The godly wife is the very soul of the home. Under the blessing of God, she buildeth her house. It is established in a firm and durable state. But notice the foolish woman. We see her house falling apart, plucked down in confusion, the doing, rather, the undoing of her own hands. And so our text, by way of contrast, intends to draw for us a picture of a wise, godly woman, a God-fearing wife. And as we consider our text in light of what Scripture says elsewhere, especially in this book of Proverbs, particularly in the passage we read, Proverbs 31, we see what is involved in being and living as a true daughter of Zion. The Word of God sets before us the truth that such a wife is more precious than rubies. Her price is far above the jewels of this world, because she is the work of God's grace. She is a gift, a precious gift unto a believing husband, as Scripture puts it. A prudent wife is from the Lord. He that findeth a wife obtaineth a good thing and findeth favor of the Lord. Scripture sets before us that blessing which God has for His believing people. For you women, young women, as daughters of Zion, also when your children rise up, call you blessed, and your husbands also, and your work shall be praised before the Lord. For remember, it is the living God Himself who speaks here, and He sets before us what is in many respects an ideal picture, far beyond the strength of any. He sets before you women that which you are to strive to be by His grace, and the standard and the ideal which the Scripture set before us is very different. Yea, it is the antithesis from the standards of the unbelieving world. In the world around us, we find the vain beauty of the flesh. But here in our text, in this wise woman, we find not the high glamour, the independent career woman, except by way of contrast. But we see here positively the meek and the spiritually beautiful woman that feareth the Lord. And it's in this light that we consider our text this evening under the theme, Homemaker or Homebreaker. And we notice, first of all, their respective adornment. Secondly, their respective activity. And finally, their respective effects upon the home. What characterizes a wise woman? If there is one underlying principle here, it is that she is a woman that feareth the Lord. If there is any true adornment or beauty to be found in a woman, it is fundamentally that she fears Jehovah. This is what makes the wise, the virtuous woman more precious than rubies. She is, by grace, a child of God. She has a sincere love and reverence for the God of her salvation. She trusts in the Lord. She bows before His word. She is adorned with the work of God's grace in her heart, with that wisdom which is from above. Understand, God alone makes a wise woman. God alone makes a wife who is a blessing. For wisdom, faith, godly fear do not proceed from us. It's not something that you can pick up by reading a book or attending a seminar or following 5 easy steps. It's that work of God's grace and Spirit within the heart, whereby the Lord takes us as we are, dead in ourselves, corrupt and rebellious. He cleanses us in the blood of Christ, washing away our sin. By the irresistible working of His Spirit, He gives new life, the life of Christ in regeneration. He unites us unto our faithful Savior by a true and living faith, so that we are one plant with Him. We live out of Christ. And so the spiritual adornment of the wise woman, that woman who is worth more than rubies, is this above all else, that she is a child of God, a woman who fears the Lord. And that, beloved, is a divine work. It proceedeth from God's sovereign decree of election. It is the work of His grace. God alone can take that fountain of sinful pride which is rooted in the flesh of every man, woman, and child and humble it to the dust. He alone can take that hateful, rebellious sinfulness of our flesh and turn it around, writing there the love of God. The wise woman knows the Lord. Her heart is set upon the Lord, her God. Her trust is placed in Him. She is the one who confesses her sins, humbling herself before God. She seeks her life not out of herself, but in Jesus Christ. She is the virtuous woman who is to be praised. Of course, there are many kinds of adornment and fashion in the world, but God Himself sets before us this one fundamental adornment of a wise woman, a believing and obedient heart that loves and fears God. That is everything. That is most precious. Without that, no woman is truly beautiful. That's why Solomon says a prudent wife, a wife that fears the Lord, is a gift of God. God and God alone makes a wise woman. By the sovereign, irresistible power of His grace, He makes women who are in themselves foolish, unbelieving, and rebellious, his own daughters. And so, as a wise woman must ever seek to know God's will, to know the way of the Lord, to walk in his precepts, and you seek to clothe yourself not with your own wisdom, not with the vain philosophies of this world, but with the wisdom and strength which only the living God can give. We read in verse 25 of Proverbs 31 that strength and honor are her clothing. Strength and honor. It is with spiritual sobriety and meekness that the godly woman clothes herself. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." The Apostle Peter writes similarly in 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." It's not a fancy hairdo, not expensive jewelry, not the latest fashions that are the adornment of the daughters of Zion. The adornment of the wise woman is completely different from the notions regarding fashion in this world. A living faith which walks day by day with the Lord, a joy in Christ, a confidence in the cross of Christ, these make for a beautiful woman. That is spiritual beauty. That's the beauty which God approves. That's the adornment of a wise woman. In contrast, the foolish women of this world make much, of course, as you well know, of another kind of beauty, another kind of adornment. That is the outward appearance and adornment of the flesh. We read in Proverbs 31, verse 30, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain." That outward glamour and beauty is empty. It's vain. It's a lie. It's true because it doesn't last. It fades away. It has no real depth. It has no abiding value. Nothing wrong, of course, with being attractive, beautiful as such. Sarah, for example, was an exceedingly beautiful woman, even from a physical point of view. Scripture certainly does not advocate ugliness or unattractiveness or dumpiness, but the point is the Word of God does not place the emphasis on the outward feminine beauty and glamour. To be modest, to be chaste, to be meek becometh godliness. It's one thing to be fittingly, appropriately, attractively dressed and groomed as is pleasing to your husband. The virtuous woman described in Proverbs 31 is one whose clothing is silk and purple. She is not intentionally unattractive, certainly. Nevertheless, clearly her adornment is not found as such in the silk and purple, but in her faith, in her wisdom, in her godliness. And the women of the world, including the foolish woman of our text, want to draw attention. They They want to draw carnal attention to themselves and would walk in sinful pride. You hear this, young men, with regard to your dating, seeking a wife? What are you really looking for? What kind of beauty? The wicked world sets up the outwardly gorgeous woman as an idol to be worshipped, as an object to be lusted after. And you women, teenage girls, are bombarded with propaganda, all kinds of advice and information on how to be beautiful and attractive, slim, glamorous, sophisticated, seductive. And they pour out again and again in all that they do that one great image of the beautiful woman whose body is so attractive, just the right proportions and curves, whose hair is beautifully styled, whose makeup is just so. And of course, in our day, there's even all kinds of plastic surgery and treatments available to correct any feature that is not quite perfect. The supposedly beautiful woman is sophisticated and bold and confident and independent. And the cry is, be glamorous, dress this way, walk like this, behave in this manner, and you're really beautiful. God's Word says of all those things, it's deceitful, it's a lie, it's nothing but emptiness and vanity. There's no true beauty there. For the women of the world have no fear of God in them. The foolish women have no spiritual discretion. Do we understand, beloved? It's not how your hair looks. It's not the label on your dress that's important. It's where your heart is that is of importance, that you are a wise woman that feareth the Lord. Solomon puts it very bluntly. We read in Proverbs 11, verse 22, that as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman without discretion. Did you children hear that? The foolish woman of this world is nothing but a jewel of gold in a pig's nose. A fair woman without discretion. What vanity, what worthlessness. Be adorned with wisdom, with godliness. That's true beauty in the sight of God and in the sight of godly men. And be assured that the respective adornments come to manifestation in one's attitude and behavior. Solomon says concerning the woman adorned with wisdom in chapter 31, verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. The wise woman shows forth wisdom when she opens her mouth, when she speaks. The love of the neighbor is revealed. The living reality of her faith is evident. The kindness of her heart is manifest. She seeks to help, to build up, to encourage, to guide, to comfort. On the other hand, the foolish woman is what Scripture often terms a busybody. She is a gossip, a talebearer, whose tongue is sharp and pointed to hurt, to wound, to destroy the neighbor. She openeth her mouth to exalt herself at the expense of others in the church and in the community. And of course, the same holds true in the sphere of the home. The wise woman walks in love and kindness toward her household, her husband, her family. Her husband is not nagged, berated. She respects and honors her husband as the God-given head of the home and family. And she seeks by the grace of God to truly be a helpmeet unto her husband, to stand next to her husband with him in life, to help him in every way possible as his complement, as the one who, being united unto him in marriage, she completes him. The wise woman understands the blessedness of being in subjection to her husband, as the Word of God commands. She sees that that does not remove her freedom, but exactly allows for it. We understand? Being in subjection to her husband does not remove her freedom, but exactly allows for it. When is a train freer? When it's flying off on its own, bumping over a hillside off of the tracks? Or when it's smoothly running along the tracks, confined, restricted, if you will, to the tracks? Of course, we know the train is freer when it is where it ought to be, doing what it was intended to do. What is true freedom? Liberation for women? Submission unto one's husband allows you to run on track, to do what God intended you to do. Then you will be a true helper to your husband. You will have a full and rich and meaningful and productive life. On the other hand, the foolish woman is continually contentious, a brawling woman, always, it seems, a bit angry, bitter, striving with her husband, contradicting him. She walks in brazen boldness over against her husband. She strives for the mastery over him, to get the upper hand. She seeks not to help and encourage and support her husband, but to put him down with scorn and ridicule. This past week, in our ladies' Bible study in Wingham, we discussed Job's wife. Very little is told us in Scripture about Mrs. Job. We have one account of an outburst in the midst of calamity, of course, but she shows herself at that time a hindrance to Job in the midst of his calamity and dire affliction, a stumbling block to him. Curse God and die! Solomon says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Yea, it's better to dwell in a wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Beloved, the wise woman has her heart set upon the things of the kingdom, the things which are above. By the grace of God, she manifests a Christian contentment, even through difficult times and circumstances. Oh, she's not always on the mountaintops of faith, but by the grace of God, she is there to support her husband, to encourage him. At times such as we may have today, some deal with financial pressures and hardships. The wise woman is prudent and careful, diligent, patient. The foolish woman is continually nagging, wanting this, desiring that, Solomon says her voice becomes, as it were, like the continual dropping of the rain on a very rainy day. She's greedy. She's covetous. Worldly minded. Can't be trusted with a credit card. She seeks the things of the world and sets her heart upon them, is always anxious and fretting and nagging about this or that. Women of the church, daughters of Zion, pray for wisdom. Show forth that spiritual inner adornment of godliness. But what does the wise woman do to build her house? If there's one thing that the Scripture emphasizes in this regard, it is that the labor and the activity of the wise woman centers in and about her home. Think of the virtuous woman described in great detail in Proverbs 31, the passage we read. All of her gifts and abilities are being used fully for the welfare of her home, for the sake of her husband and children. Solomon says she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Her whole life is orientated toward her husband and family. She is willing to live for them, to sacrifice for them, realizing that in that way she shall also be truly happy and blessed. Verse 27 says, she looketh well to the ways of her household. That virtuous, wise woman of Proverbs 31 is busily involved in all those household chores that are proper to the godly woman of that day. She's involved in those things pertaining to the care of the household. She's busy providing clothing, laboring with spindle and distaff. She prepared for the cold of winter, being busy with wool and flax, preparing warm garments of scarlet, working willingly with her hands. She's busy in the preparation of food for her family. To that end, she even purchased a field where she tended a garden and vineyard so that there might be food and drink on the table. She was busy, too, with those domestic industries and crafts that barter which went on with merchants making things to sell to gain the practical necessities of life for the home. What a help to her husband. As he is going about his daily labor and calling, she takes of the fruits of those labors and multiplies them, causes them to serve and to provide for the needs of the home. And her attitude is one of cheerfulness. She worketh willingly, delightfully. She is really a happy woman, truly fulfilled, liberated. She's content. In wisdom, she becomes a blessing and a benefit for all around her. It's no small description in Proverbs 31. It is a significant description of the wise woman who labors in the sphere of the home. And of course, this needs emphasis as never before. It is the Word of God that says that the calling of the women of the church, of the wise woman, to be keepers at home. There are always some exceptions to this, perhaps, but generally speaking, it's not the calling of the wife and mother to labor in the world in the sweat of her face. And always the priority, the home, must come first. Scripture says your calling is to care for the needs of your home and family, your husband and children. The apostle writes to Timothy concerning the young widows of the church in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, that they are to seek the normal life of a young woman of the church, which is, I will that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Mind you, the apostle equates the turning away, the neglect, the despising of that fundamental calling to faithful labor in the home with going after Satan. And likewise, the Word of God in the epistle to Titus, chapter 2, speaks especially to now the older women of the church, that it is your calling to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Why? That the Word of God be not blasphemed. In general, it is God's purpose that godly women be saved in the way of childbearing and child-rearing, not by laboring out in the world. Granted, that doesn't jive at all with the image the unbelieving world holds before us. Again, the world paints a very beautiful picture of the glamorous career woman. She's an equal with her husband, on a par with him. Not his helper. Perhaps she sees even no need to have a man involved in her life. She has her own career and her own bank account, her own investments, her own car, her own friends, her own life. That's the whole spirit of feminism today. Got to take care of yourself. You first. Need your own income. After all, most marriages don't last anyway. Look out for yourself. Be independent. The husband can do his share in running the household. The children can be raised in daycare centers or at babysitters. The province of Ontario is currently putting in place a program that will take young children 4 and 5 years old, out of the home, potentially all day, 5 days a week, from early in the morning, 6:30, you can drop them off, pick them up at 6 in the evening. The foolish women of this world strive for mastery, but their husbands, over in rebellion against God, Solomon calls such odious women. They bring shame upon their households. He says that such a wife is rottenness in the bones of her husband. And there's good reason for that. It's very simple. It's contrary to the very ordinance and will of God for women. Generally speaking, God made women to be a help, to fill up that which is lacking in the man. She is to be the body, he is to be the head, and they too shall be one flesh. What is it then when husband and wife virtually go their separate ways, each having their own career, employment, each taking their own separate vacation, each having their own goals, each living virtually independently of the other? It's nothing more than a denial of the very foundation of marriage. It blasphemes the will of God. The foolish women would destroy their own homes. Would we follow along? God, in His infinite wisdom, places the woman in the sphere of the home. What the psalmist calls a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. And God says to the husband and not to the wife, you go out, earn your daily bread in the sweat of your brow. But the world likes to describe the life of the wise, God-fearing woman, the homemaker, as drudgery, an intolerable bore. That's all you are? A stay-at-home mom? Oh, indeed. It's difficult. From a worldly viewpoint, there's not much glamour to that. The same old dirty laundry and dishes and floors, whiny, crabby children, unappreciative husband. Even with all the modern conveniences, being a homemaker is hard work, but it is a beautiful, it is a glorious work. I didn't say glamorous, it's a glorious work. It's a high calling. Professor Herman Hankel put it so beautifully, speaking from the heart. Perhaps you recall reading or even hearing it. The little pamphlet, Phoebe, an example for the Christian woman. He says the scriptures speak rather of the fact that there are few, if any, callings in all of life that are more noble than the calling that Christian mothers have to be busy in their homes, in the bringing forth and nurturing of children. There has got to be, beloved mothers, and I speak to you now from the depths of my heart, there has got to be a special place in heaven for godly and pious and virtuous mothers who are content to take that place which God has given them in their homes and are content to bring up their children in the hard day-to-day work of caring for the needs of the family. I cannot do that work. And that God has enabled women to do that is a miracle of no little importance. They have a noble calling from God, which will be rewarded greatly when these humble mothers stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And the benefits of their work for the welfare of the church is beyond evaluation. We cannot begin to understand the tremendous benefits which the church and the schools receive because of the patient work of these God-fearing mothers. Yea, the Word of God says that a gracious woman, one who is filled with grace and walks therein, retaineth honor. Such a wise woman is the crown and glory of her husband. Such a wise woman builds her house. Though it's not difficult to see the respective effects of the wise woman and of the foolish woman, the wise woman buildeth her house. The foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The building of the house is the making of it a home. It makes the house a place of love, of fellowship, of joy, of happiness, of laughter, a place that family members enjoy being. It's a refuge, a safe, secure abode in the midst of a chaotic world. That house built by the wise woman is firm. It's established in a world where everything seems so shaky and uncertain. That home is strong. By God's grace, that family grows and develops spiritually. Such a home is indeed a blessing to the church. That house of a homemaker. On the other hand, the foolish woman plucketh the house down by her hands. She tears it apart just as really as if she pulled that house to pieces, nail by nail, board by board, brick by brick. The foolish woman destroys her home. You don't doubt that, do you? Even read and hear a little bit of the news that's going on in our society today. The foolish woman destroys her home, her marriage, her children, herself. What folly! Beloved, the homemaker is praised. We read in Proverbs 31, verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. But more importantly, understand, beloved, that God Himself will honor the wise, God-fearing woman for the simple reason that she is His workmanship. And He delights to honor her as a reward of His grace. The wise woman whose diligent building of the house now seems like such an ordinary thing. It now seems so unrecognized. But the wise woman will hear the word of Christ. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Be wise. Women, young women, girls, may that be your goal, that you would strive to build your houses, seeking grace day by day to do so, to be homemakers, not home breakers. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. May it shine as a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our pathway. In these dark days, we thank Thee for mothers of Zion and daughters thereof, who are willing to deny themselves and sacrifice much, endeavor with all that Thou hast given them for the welfare of our homes and families. Bless them richly. May husbands and fathers speak of their appreciation. And may we ever give thanks and praise unto Thee. May we as children rise up too and call our mothers blessed. Continue Thy covenant with us. We ask it with the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.